This morning, the title of my message is Identity, Acceptance, and Approval. And I want to share a story that is a very familiar story in the Bible. It's found in the third chapter of Matthew. The location is the River Jordan. The scene is John the Baptist baptizing sinners. And the story is Jesus coming to John and being baptized by John. And then in verse 17, we see the following, and God speaks, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Now, in this sentence, there are three extremely important statements. The first one is, "This is my Son." And this speaks of identity. God was acknowledging the fact that Jesus was his Son. Amen? The second important statement was when God said, "Whom I love." This speaks of acceptance. And the third statement was, "With him I am well pleased." And that speaks of approval. Now, as you sit here today, we need to acknowledge that most people spend their whole lives searching for these three things: identity, acceptance, and approval. But sadly, most drift through their life and never find them. Family, if we are insecure, and most people are, they won't know who they are, and most people don't. Amen? Security or insecurity is a disease in this world that we live in. It's a pandemic. People are searching. People are searching for something. They don't know what it is they're searching for. Don't know if you can remember before you got saved. I got saved on April the 26th, 1983. I was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. You know, and people say, "I found Jesus." No, you didn't find Jesus. He wasn't lost. I was the one that was lost, and he found me. Amen. But I know that from that up until that time, I was searching for something. It was like I had a hole in my heart that nothing could fill. I tried everything that the world had to offer, and nothing satisfied that desire until I met Jesus, until my life was changed. And my life was changed in so many ways, but one of the ways that it really, I believe, really changed me was that I realized who I was. I'd lived for 29 years going from pillar to post, searching for something. Then when I found it, when I realized that I was a child of God, I had an identity. I had a peace within me that the Bible says, and now I'm, even after 35 years, I'm only just starting to understand it, the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that you can't buy. And people who struggle with an identity struggle because they don't know this. Amen? You have an identity as you sit here this morning. You are God's child. We need to sometimes let that sink in. My Father created heaven and earth. I love what your pastor says. He says, "Daddy." He says, "Let's have fun with Daddy. Abba, Father." I had the privilege of leading my father to the Lord when he was 73 years old. He was an ex-sergeant major. And in England, soldiers didn't kiss their boys. Not in them days. When he was 73 years old, it was the first day that my father kissed me. He's in glory right now, but I'm a first-generation Christian, but I had the privilege of leading him and my mom, and I'm one of six. Four boys, two girls. I got two of the boys, one still to go, and two sisters. The one is stubborn. He's almost as stubborn as I was. So I know if I got saved, he can get saved too. Amen? Is anybody like that here? We need to understand people are strange. People are different. Some Christians, I say, you'll hear me say this plenty, especially if you're on Bible school. Some Christians walk around like they've been baptized in lemon juice. You know, you meet them in the mall and you say, how are you? And 20 minutes later, you wish you'd never asked. They complain about everything. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody sitting next to anybody like that? Don't put your hand up. Amen? But it's a fact. Some people are like, you see, but I've read the book. We need to understand. I've read the book, and at the end, we win. It's called good news for a reason. But you see, sometimes people struggle to be happy because they don't know who they are in Christ. And just because you come to church on a Sunday doesn't mean you automatically know that. When you look in a mirror, and I say this especially to the young people and somehow especially to young girls, when they look in the mirror, they don't like what they see because their life is compared to what Hollywood say they should look like. They're too small, they're too short, they're too thin, they're too fat, their hair's not long enough, or it's too short, or it's the wrong color. No. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible tells me that you are God's masterpiece. I remember as my youngest daughter was growing up, she used to have a picture on her wall in her bedroom, and it used to say, I must be good because God doesn't make junk. And you need to look in the mirror and you need to tell yourself how God sees you. Because this morning, God sees you as successful. God sees you as prosperous. God sees you as whole. God sees you as his son and daughter. Amen. You know, like I said, sometimes Christians act like they live on Grumble Alley, which is on the corner of Burley getting a Long Street. Amen. We need to be happy. Amen. We need to know that we are special in this world. You know, gang culture in America is a very real and dangerous thing. But I need you to know it's not just out there. The church is not immune. And family, I need to say to you, if your children or your members, if your children start with a family, if your children do not find identity, acceptance, and approval in your home, they'll go somewhere else to find it. Amen? You know, ink is a, I don't know, I'm not against tattoos. My wife has one. The only reason I don't have one is because I'm a coward. I don't like needles, and I don't like blood. She says, I struggle to wear a ring. So my wife says to me, I don't mind that, but just have a tattoo on your finger. I say, it hurts. She says, it doesn't hurt. I say, you bleed. Therefore, it must hurt. Amen. But sometimes you get these guys, and they're covered from head to foot in it. And if somebody walked in through that door this morning who was covered head to foot, would he be accepted? Amen. I believe he would in this house, Pastor. But you know, I know some churches where they wouldn't be. If their hair is too long, or their clothes don't fit, or they don't look the same. They're not, you know, shame on us, family. They're God's children. And you know, teenagers, I thank God, you know, the teenagers here in America, these guys, you got to be grateful. Because We spent the last 6 years in Europe. Lord have mercy. You talk about anarchy. But the main reason why people are like that is because they don't find acceptance, approval. They don't know who they are. And you know, when you know who you are in Christ, you can be bold as a lion. And let me say this at that point there. There's a big difference between boldness and arrogance. Fine line, but big difference. You see, arrogance is confidence in self. Boldness is confidence in Christ. I'm bold because I know who I am. In England, they're big on royalty, you know? And if Prince William and Kate walked in the back, everybody would stand on their feet. And they would give them the prime seats in the front. Why? Because they're royalty, yeah? Well, I got news for you. You're royalty. You're royalty. You need to put your shoulders back and your chest down. I'm a son of God. She's a daughter of God. And we need to live like that, believe that, expect that. Amen? And we need to share that. How many of you are grateful for what God's done in your life? Amen? Then we can't keep it to ourselves. Amen? We must embrace and celebrate our differences and do our part to or in the furtherance of God's kingdom. Now, when it comes to this, when it comes to understanding our identity, let me also categorically state that people will let you down. People will let you down. Sometimes the people that are most close to you will let you down. But I can promise you, Jesus will never let you down. He'll never let you down. Amen. Jesus has never let me down. He's never left me. The first year students that we've just met twice now on a Thursday night, but they are stepping out into that adventure. So they've started a life-changing year. And the theme of that life-changing year is cultivating intimacy with God through a personal relationship. I like to call it knowing the shepherd and making sure the shepherd knows you. Amen? Why would I say that? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says the following. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do the things that I say. Keep my commandments. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Other translations say, laid hands on the sick and saw them recover. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Who is speaking in verse 23? Jesus. Jesus stated. And I don't know about you, but to me that's a scary scripture. It would be devastating to me after 35 years of being in church and doing what I believe God told me to do. And I've laid hands on many people. I've prayed for many hundreds of people who have been healed. I've seen miracles happen. I've cast out demons. And I know you can't cast out demons and lay hands on the sick and expect them to be healed if you're not a born-again, spirit-filled believer. And it's scary for me to hear Jesus say that to certain people, he said, depart from me, I knew you not. You see, as members of New Life Fellowship, You need to understand, this is not just a good church. This is a great church. I'm not saying that because Pastor's sitting in front of me. I'm saying that because I've traveled all over the world. You know, my brother was praying this morning about persecution. One of the most vibrant churches I have ever been in was in Moscow, Russia, with 3,000 believers in a cinema. These guys understand persecution. But their people get saved. Do you know why? Because sometimes when persecution comes, it's not a bad thing, because you find out who your friends are. You find out who really believes in Jesus. Amen? Because, you know, coming to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. You can live in a barn, it doesn't make you a cow. You have to forgive my sense of humor. Just put it down to the fact that I'm an Englishman, you know? And we won't talk about 1814 and taking a little trip when you guys whooped us. We're not going to talk about that today, okay? That's in the past. But life's too short to be serious. I love your pastor's sense of humor. Church should be fun. Amen? Church should be a place. We said, I don't know where he's got to, but I said hello to a young man this morning. Came and hugged Pastor. I said to him, it blesses me to see young people like that in the church. Church needs to be fun, family. Your life needs to mirror that. We need to be happy. We need to smile. You know, I forget who said it, but somebody once said, people like elevators. They either take you up or they take you down. I want to be around people that take me up. Amen? Amen? So we need to understand and appreciate that this is not a game. This is serious. We must be aware that we have a job to do. Amen? I don't want to be political, but I want you to know that, and I said this to Pastor, I am blessed because I believe I'm in, God's brought me to the best city, in the best state, in the best country of this world. I believe that with all my heart. But you know, sadly, I believe that the same devil lives in America that lives in England or South Africa. Same devil, just wears different clothes. You know, here what his suit is lethargy. I can't afford to be lethargic, family. We got to get out there. We got to win this world for Jesus. We got to be agents of change. You know, you may not think this of yourself, but to your neighbors and your lost family and your lost work colleagues, you're the closest thing to Jesus that they're going to get to. Amen? So I believe we need to be equipped. Amen? Again, I love this church. You have your equipped class, and you have all your different avenues where you can be involved. That scripture that I just read there, it's talking to us about being able to stand on our own two feet. The fact that Jesus said, depart from me, I knew you not. I want you to know that scripture drives Pastor and Ellen and I. It drives us to encourage all Christians to do at least first year Bible college. Why would it drive me? Well, the Bible says that we need to know the shepherd and the shepherd needs to know us, yes? The theme of first year Bible college is intimacy. It is intimacy with God through a personal relationship. And I promise you that, you know, there's so many of our students here this morning. I promise you by the end of the year, you will know, not only will you know the shepherd, you probably know him now, but he will know you. Amen. And we got to remember John 15 verse 16 says the following. Jesus again is speaking and he says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. Amen. So like I said, whether you like it or not, as you sit here, God chose you. Amen. God chose you before the foundation of the earth. I'll never know how that works. Well, I'll know when I get to heaven. But I always wonder how it works that God knew I was going to be here standing on this platform speaking to you before the foundation of the earth. That just blows, it puts my pinball machine on tilt. For those of you that are old enough to remember how a pinball machine used, now young guys, don't get a shock here. You used to have to use your fingers. Wasn't on a screen or a little PlayStation thing, you know. It was back in the old days. But it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, we need to understand that you are chosen by God. You have a destiny. You know, I love the analogy of a fingerprint. Every one of us has got a different fingerprint. You are unique, created by God to fulfill a task which only you can fulfill. If you don't fulfill it, it doesn't get done. Amen? You didn't choose Jesus. He chose you. And he chose you to bear fruit. And you know what I love about this scripture? It goes on to say that so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You know, many times as a pastor, I've been approached by people who say, "Pastor, why don't my prayers get answered?" And you know, my answer to them sometimes is, "Have you checked your fruit?" Say what? Jesus tells us if we have fruit in our life, that we can ask the Father for whatever we want and he'll do it for you. What's fruit? Fruit is the lives that you have impacted for the kingdom. Amen. You know, I shared this with the group this morning, but in the last few weeks, did you see the burial of Billy Graham? How many of you know who Billy Graham is? If you don't, Lord have mercy, where have you been for the last 100 years? But how many of you have known about a man by the name of Mordecai Ham? Nobody. That's amazing. Well, Mordecai Ham was an evangelist. And he would go back in the days when they had a tent. And they would take a tent from city to city. And he was in the Midwest out there, and he was having an evangelistic crusade. And Monday night, preached his heart out, nobody got saved. Tuesday night, preached his heart out, nobody got saved. You can forgive him for being a bit despondent. So Thursday morning comes, or Friday morning comes, and it was almost the end. And he says to his wife, "I think I'm going to quit." How many men have ever quit to your wives and your wife says, "No way, Jose"? Has that ever happened? Pastor Dwayne, don't you hate it when God speaks to you through a woman's voice and it's your wife? Hey, no. That means, ouch. Well, anyway, Mordecai, his wife said to him, "Do you believe God called you to this town to have an outreach?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Well, then get out there and preach." And he preached. And three young men came forward. Three in the whole town. One of them was named Billy Graham. You know, now Billy Graham has led thousands of people to Jesus. Amen. He may have done it a little different to the way he do it, but he led them to Jesus. And when they get to heaven, they're going to stand in a big long queue and wait to shake his hand. And you know what? He's going to say, excuse me, before you shake my hand, please go and shake his hand over there. That's Mordecai. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in heaven. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be in heaven. So go shake his hand. And then there's going to be a queue to him, and Mordecai is going to say, before you shake my hand, will you just shake my wife's hand? Because if it wasn't for her, I'd quit. See this little blonde bombshell right at the front? Don't kid yourself. I might be up here, but if it wasn't for her, I'd have been running and still running. Every man needs a good wife. Amen. Hallelujah. You better say amen, guys, or you might be cooking lunch. Amen. I could see a few elbows going this. You know? Amen. I say, it's like patience, you know. Lord, I want patience, and give it me now. And I say, and it always gets the audience, because I say, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in women. Never found in man. Now you see the women, they go, and then they forgive me, you see. That's called buttering your bread on both sides, eh? So you see, why am I telling you that story about Mordecai and his wife? Because you may sit there and you may think your involvement in the kingdom is insignificant. But it's not. I drove in here this morning more than an hour before the service started. And it blessed my heart to see a volunteer out in the car park putting the flags out and showing you where to park. I don't know if that man is in this service. God bless you, sir. Because you see, family, if it wasn't for people like that, I couldn't stand here. Somebody has to vacuum the carpets. Somebody has to straighten the chairs. And you know what I love about God? Is that don't think because I'm up here in a nice suit that I'm going to get a bigger reward than you. No, 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 no. Our reward is the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So whatever job you do, whatever God has called you to do, you need to do, you need to be the best you can be. Listen, we were talking about it on Friday's meeting. I promise you, I've got into big trouble because I'm very competitive. To me, second is first loser. Sorry, that I repent. But the truth is that I'm not racing against you. I don't have to beat you. When Paul says we're all running a race, and we're aiming towards that tape, I'm running to be the best me that I can be. Because tomorrow I want to be better than I am today. Amen? And I got news for you. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And the rest of your life can be the best of your life. What time do I quit on that watch? Clock? Is it a good one? So what time? Tell me, sir. I'm obedient. 10:45. Okay, we're going. We're getting there. See what I mean? My wife, she's... No, he said 10:45. I'm good. I want to be obedient. Blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. Your life is not your own. Amen? Your life's not your own. In James, we read the scripture where it said, now listen, who says today or tomorrow we'll go to this town or this city, we'll spend a year there, carry business and make money. That's not God's wisdom. Sometimes people say, oh no, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm leaving. I'm going to another town. I've got me a good job with an increase. You know, I believe that's a lie from the devil. I believe God is more than able to give you a good job near your church, not find you a good church near your job. Amen. I believe each and every one of you are called to this fellowship as much as Pastor Dwayne and Tammy and all the other leaders are. Amen. Why? I thank you for that one holy clap in the corner there. Who is making the decisions rather regarding your life? Earlier this year, Pastor preached an amazing series on how God empowers you for your purpose. We're giving you an opportunity today to continue in that, to sign up for the Bible College. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 15, the Bible says, Paul writing to Timothy, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul was saying effectively to Timothy that he needs to study. Amen? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul meant for Timothy to be a student of the scripture. God is giving you a new life fellowship, the opportunity to give 1 year of your life to God, to be a diligent student of God's word. We're encouraging you. Now, next Thursday, there's no class because of spring break. But we're meeting again the following Thursday night, which I believe is the 29th. We're inviting you to come. You can register today. You can come talk to us. But that's the last night. The end of the month, you've got to wait till August. We're encouraging you. Join us. If you're not sure, just come and listen. There's no commitment. We're not going to put handcuffs on you and keep you there. Amen? And it's time to align ourselves to God's plan for our lives. Amen? If you want to change, you need to be a change.